Mike and Miana gather playing some games. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Miana gather playing some games. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for the preseason of Survivor 42. My name is Mike Bloom, back again to talk about another season of Survivor. It's been a long preseason, but the precipice of Survivor 42 is here. If you hear those grumblings in the background, the monster is coming, and he's hungry for chicken and veggies or stew or insert Survivor 41 reference here. But we are here to break down a very interesting cast, and it was sure to be another interesting season of this quote-unquote new era of Survivor. Of course, I am not alone here. I am joined by the co-owner of the B&B. It's just family today. She is a pigeon, she's an owl, she's an aviary all in one person. It is the great Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
Oh my gosh. I could not think of a higher compliment, Mike. You know, Omar really coming in strong with his references, the owls, pigeons, all of the birds, because I just am so freaking excited. You know, call me an eagle, Mike. Call me a falcon. I just want to swoop on down and snatch up this cast and nom 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 nom.
Oh no. Oh no. That's not good.
Let's talk about it. Let's.
I want to eat
everything.
These people. Yes. I want to eat the cast of Survivor 42.
I am the monster.
Oh my God. It is the Scooby Doo moment of like, let's unmask Liana Boris.
What? Yes. Oh, it's been such a pleasure to go through the cast alongside you and Rob. I just felt like the third wheel, just chilling, hanging out, learning about all of these people. And you know what? We're going to talk about our opinions, although, you know, we've heard you extensively. We'll get to hear my opinions. We'll get to hear the casuals' opinions, which I think is going to be, you know, obviously very critical. We learned that they control the vote for Celebrity Big Brother. So if there's any type of voting situation, which there won't be, but if there was, the casuals matter.
We learned that some people might be so enraged by certain people not winning, they'll set up GoFundMes for them. So like, you can really get a nice pulse as to who might get that charity this time around. I'm so happy to hear that you are excited, because I wanted to start by actually taking your temperature, because to be frank, it is a little overwhelming to be a reality TV fan in 2022 so far. What a hell of a Q1, right? Because we've had Amazing Race, we've had Celebrity Big Brother for internationally minded viewers. There's also been Australian Survivor, which is almost two-thirds of the way over. Big Brother Canada just got started. And so I have seen a bit of a prevailing opinion of A, this snuck up on us, and B, like, I don't know how I balance this amidst everything going on. So, I mean, elaborate a bit on your opinion, given all this stuff that is happening. Is this something that also snuck up on you like a monster? Is this something that you're pumped about to have more Survivor? It's been less than 3 months since Survivor 41 ended, and that feels both long and short to me.
Do I feel like I'm drowning? Yes. But am I having fun while I'm drowning? Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's what they don't tell you about drowning, man. It's the most fun you can have in the water.
It's so fun. I know, right? It's so fun. I don't even need a lifeguard. I'm having a ball.
Yeah. And much like the Survivor 41 logo. Remember that?
Oh, God. It's so bad. Yeah, exactly. The drowning man with the torch.
Well, I do think, actually, in retrospect, we should have seen Erica's win all along, because that did represent her edit, right? It was underwater for most of the season.
That's true. Yeah, maybe it's her hand in the logo that's what we're representing. It's like, you know, just the tip. Yeah, I kind of thought that Survivor was going to happen until I got the Randy Neupel draft. And I was like, oh, no, we got to start prepping. But like, I'm so happy that it is here, because amongst all of the reality TV that's going on, you know, Survivor is sort of that rock for me. You know, it's the show that like has been the most consistent, I guess, except for the pandemic. But it's been the show that like has really just been there. It's sort of been the center. It's the focus of the B&B. And so it's something that like I just have so much joy to always go back to. And it was the moment that I fired up the bios, you know, that I pulled them up. I started looking through the all of those fun feelings just immediately started rushing back. And yeah, the comment of the fact that Survivor 41 was, well, like you said, 3 months ago or whatever, it feels like years since it has aired. And to think that also this was filmed in that same cycle, right? It was 41, 42 back to back. So we're getting the monster, we're getting the phrases, we're getting all of those, you know, hopefully the shot in the dark, I don't know, hopefully, but potentially the shot in the dark back, right? All of those things just reminded me, oh yeah, right, Survivor 41. Okay, let's do this thing. You know, drop the 4, keep the 2. Like, let's do it. I'm stoked and I'm ready to go.
Do you think Jeff's going to say that? Because, you know, he get the whole spiel like, look at your buffs. You might as well erase the 4 out of there. I think drop the 4, keep the 2. Not as easy off the tongue.
No, it definitely doesn't. It doesn't roll as nicely. I don't know what, like, how do you do that, though? I guess it's tough because, like, when you're trying to signify a new era, it's usually just like right at the beginning. You know, you don't be like, OK, this is new era part 2. I don't know how that works.
Well, it's tough because we're living in the third year of pandemic, right? So, like, that's also some similar branding. I don't want to talk about branding with COVID, but like this idea of, yeah, we're in the third year of this. So, like, is it truly a new era? How do you feel when you're in the middle of a new era?
Drop the O, keep the cron. Macron, I don't know.
Drop the O, keep the cron.
We'll get there eventually. I think if people did say
like, oh, this is the cron variant, people would, I think people would wild out for it personally.
Oh man. Yeah, that's funny. So yeah, look, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to call it. I don't know what the branding is going to be. Obviously the monster is still a very big component of this.
Yeah.
I guess. But we'll find out exactly. Maybe. I don't know. Do you think Jeff is going to do another spiel like he did at the beginning? Probably not.
That's a good question. Monologue. Probably not. Because, again, drop the 4, keep the 2. He's going to be like, oh, you're back. How was your Christmas? Mine was good.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Survivor 42. Like, obviously, the big hullabaloo came in that introduction because it had been a long time, not so much of a long time between, even less so between seasons, right? Like what they took, I think maybe like 6 weeks, if that, between 41 and 42. So I don't know. I feel like they'd be sort of giving the short end of the stick to the 42 viewers by Jeff being like, all right, well, that was fun, but we're going to do it again this time.
Yeah, the most dangerous kind of fun, Mike, remember? The most dangerous kind of fun.
Yeah, the best kind of fun, the dangerous kind. Again, he's very much in the mentality that drowning is very fun. So
see, drowning's fun. We've been new.
Can I share something, actually? Because you mentioned, we talked about this, the season 41 logo, and I haven't seen anybody talk about this, but I think we got to talk about this, Liana. The Survivor 42 logo. Can we like meditate on this for a hot second before we get into anything proper?
Do we have to?
I mean, we have to. People are not talking about how freaking jank this is. And frankly, I think we need to do a bit of meditation on it.
It's somehow worse than the 41 logo. Like, I didn't even
completely 100% worse, because 41, like, there is some meaning behind it, right? If we're talking about the monster, if we're equating the monster to water here, you feel like you're drowning, but you have to keep your torch lit above all, because that means you're alive in the game. And there was also the incorporation of like the storm iconography, right? Ua, Yasa, and Luvu, I think, were the names of weather patterns going on. I have no earthly clue, honestly, what they are doing here. This, to be frank, like, this looks like a logo for one of those weekend retreat Survivor games. And with no shade to them whatsoever, people have fun with that. It does not necessarily equate to a multi-million dollar reality TV series.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't seen this yet, how would I describe it? So I would
say, paint us a picture, Liana.
It says, so obviously you get the big 42 at the top. Okay. Outwit, outplay, outlast around the outside. Sure. That part's all fine. No problem there. It says Survivor across the middle on like a wood plank.
There you go. It's got the bear. The bear essentials are there. We know what we're playing for.
Right. Exactly. The fundamentals are there. There's only really 4 other things on it.
It's only four.
It's overlaid over a maze of some sort, which actually, I don't even know where the start is. Is the maze even solvable? I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Has anyone printed it out on a placemat and put it in like a local Denny's to see if someone with a crayon could trace their way through it?
Exactly. Can your 4-year-old child solve this maze? Really the question at hand.
That's the game within the game. It's like, we've got a logo that only you Junior Survivor fans can solve.
Yeah, right. So you've got the Denny's maze, and then you have some random flames on either side.
Oh, yeah, I feel bad. Is the poor local on fire?
I guess so. But it's like only on fire on the sides. It hasn't burned all the way to the middle yet, I suppose. But it definitely looks like the board is not on fire. It's like behind. It's like the maze is on fire.
Oh, could that be the monster is like
fire?
Fire. Yeah, it's like a forest fire of you got to wait. It might spread closer to you. But yeah, I guess fire is dangerous. It is your life in this game as well. But my feeling is they went with this stuff, including the two objects of note that you're about to talk about. And they said, we need something else. How about fire? Just put it somewhere.
Yeah. I think like you have to survivor. Fire represents your life. Like you need fire somewhere. And so they were just like, yeah, just throw it on. It's fine. Just put some in the back. Yeah. So the two other objects of note are a lock and key. Okay. The lock is like locked to the survivor paddle sign thing, but it's like unclear, what is it locking?
Yeah, what is it guarding? What are your secrets that you're guarding, Locke?
Yeah, is it lock? Is it like, am I not allowed to access the flammable maze until I unlock the key? Like,
you can only access the flammable maze with the correct key.
So fun, drowning flammable mazes. Yeah,
I mean literally talk about out of the frying pan and into the fire, right? Like that's where you're literally going here.
Yeah, and there's something weird about the key also. Like it looks the like it doesn't fit in the lock. Like it's too big.
It's too big. I think if we're, you know, I don't want to go full bloom here, but I feel like there might be a bit of a width issue. You know, I think some room might be allotted with the lock.
Yeah, it's definitely a fit issue. It's going to be got to really like, I see the thing is like, I just don't think it's going to fit. Like, I think even if you lube that up, it's not going in, you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah, like, and you got all the coconuts around you. You have enough coconut oil, I'm assuming. I don't know, lube up a Greek men's wrestling team, but all the good will do you. They still do that.
Why are they Greek?
Greek wrestling was like the Greco-Roman tradition, I believe, where like you wrestle each other naked.
Yes, right, correct. Yes, the ancient, yes. Like old school Olympics, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Not modern. Like modern. Though I do believe,
I was like, did I miss that?
Well, I'm pretty sure at the Summer Olympics, though, this past year, like they had the wrestling and
do they grease themselves up? I don't think so.
Kind of greased that. They should have.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, that's actually a good idea. I was thinking like, oh, you probably don't want to grease yourself up because it would be hard for you to like grab your opponent. But maybe that's a reason, like, because it'd be hard to grab you. Just like,
listen, you're a world class athlete. If you're the best of the best, like you get a grab on a greasy man, no matter what the circumstances may be. Right. Like prove you are truly the creme de la creme. So listen, if the international Olympic community is listening, and I know you are, that's my suggestion for 2024.
Wrestling, but make it slimy.
Make it slimy. I want the slimiest Olympics. Let's just grease everybody up in all of Olympic events.
Oh my god, can you imagine? That's everything would be so slippery. They're like trying to get up on the podium and it's like whoop, whoop. No one can really like get up there, just like slip sliding all around.
I want Crisco to be the main sponsor of the Olympics next time around.
Oh my god. I like the skeleton. Is that the one where you just like lay like the Winter Olympics board, where you just like that is deadly with Crisco. You just like zhoop, like right off your little board. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's not, forget about greasing up the sled. Like if you grease up yourself, you're going to become your own sled.
Yeah, you don't even need it. Curling also would be very difficult. Like think about it, you know?
Because you're greasing just, like, up yourself, the broom, and the rock.
Yeah, everything's just all so crazy. Slippery. Anyway, back to Survivor. Yeah, if anyone is like curious about what the preseason toll has taken on Mike, look no further than the greased
up. 9 hours I've talked about these people. This is the mental load that I have taken on at this point. That I'm like, we need more grease at the Olympics.
You know what? I have
the country and those items.
Well, I will say, if you're greased up, the fire is probably very dangerous for Survivor. I feel like that would be quite flammable. So you maybe want to stay on the other side of the locked Survivor board. But anyway, this is very ugly and I do not like it. That being said, it's hilarious. And so I'm actually here for it in the sense that it's like ironic. Like I will ironically stand this logo as how ugly it is. And also, do the tribe names have any type of, do they mean lock and key? Or no. Fire or maze?
Nothing of the sort. So you actually see, if you've taken a look at the buffs, Vati, Ika, and was Taku all refer to animals.
Animals,
I think it's a fish, a turtle, and a crab, I think, are the three. And you actually see the animals represented on the buff. So absolutely nothing to do with it, which, again, differs from 41, right, where it was like wave and cloud and storm. Here they're just like, I don't know, a lock and key. So that being said, Liana, is this foreshadowing? You know, much like in Survivor 39, right? They're like, oh, something's missing from the logo on this buff. This means that there's this machete we have to look for. Does this indicate, okay, maybe there's like a two-part idol where one part is the key, the second is the lock. You have to unlock the box to get the advantage.
Okay, I love this idea. And then maybe the fact that the fire is over those two elements, because fire represents your life. So you need these pieces to stay alive because they're on fire and it's at the sides of a maze. Also,
the maze is really what's throwing me off here, because there have been Survivor mazes. But why? Unless Jeff talked about season 41 being the monster. Could season 42 be the maze?
Ooh, I don't even know what that means.
It's like you're wandering around. You don't know where the destination is. Survivor is like a maze where you feel like you're turning in the correct direction, but sometimes you hit a dead end. You need the wherewithal and the directional sense to be able to see where you are in position to the rest of the maze and make your way out to that $1 million prize at the end of it.
Well, okay, if that's the case, then I'm excited for the corn maze maker that can come on and say, well, my job has prepared me for Survivor, because Survivor is like a maze and I make mazes for a living.
Do you think there is one person who specializes in that as their career choice? Like, all right, well, we got the county fair coming in 3 weeks. Got to call in our maze guy.
Yeah, someone has to make them, right? You know, they always have patterns, right? It's not just like one guy like going out there with a tractor just being like, whatever, just like plow it down.
Yeah, all right, I think I'm going to make a maze today.
Yeah, exactly. It's like some drunk guy out there with it's just like, it's fine. That's why it's all like, you know.
Or maybe this is like a Goodwill Hunting scenario where we have like some sort of genius who has relegated his life to becoming a simple corn maze maker, and he makes the most complicated mazes known to man.
Call our maze guy. It's just like tax time. It's corn maze time. Call our maze guy. Contract him out. It's busy season for corn mazes, you know.
Yeah, it's coming up. Listen, we're in the spring right now, but like, you know, you open your eyes and all of a sudden you smell the corn on the horizon. Corn mazes are popping up all over the place.
That's right. All right. So corn maze on fire, locks and keys. Got it. I think we nailed it with the logo. I don't even know.
I mean, I think it's just something that we have to keep in the back of our mind of, are these possible clues for us as to what we could be expecting on the season? Could it be the lock and key? You know, you have the final four fire making, but they have a twist on this where you can only unlock your fire making supplies if you have that lock and key that you've accrued from previous days.
I see. So you needed to somehow collect those things throughout the season is what you're saying.
Yeah, it could be something where it's like either you win a challenge or you find an advantage and you're like, OK, if you don't have the key, you can't unlock your fire materials and you automatically lose at the final four.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a twist. The internet will love that. I'm so super, super excited. It also kind of gives me a little bit like, you know, the challenges where they have to make the stick. They have to tie together the stick and then
the long enough and strong enough.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, you know, that's my favorite. So I think that this is giving me that vibe as well. So I don't know if that could count as foreshadowing because it's just a normal challenge that they do. I feel like there's nothing particularly special about that, but that's the vibe it's giving me.
I felt like we needed to talk about it because we did such a deep dive, pun unintended, into the logo in season 41. This is much more all over the place. In fact, I might call this the most all over the place logo in Survivor history.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's... It's rough. It's a little rough. I mean, I completely agree with you that it's like very much on the scale of so stupid that I absolutely love it because of that. But right. at the same time, the more I talk about it, the more I look at it, the more I'm just incredibly confused that this probably passed several drafts by the art department.
I don't know. If they're having to cut back on the number of days, maybe they had to cut back on their staff as well. And now it's the corn maze guy that's trying to, he's like, I don't know. It's not my job. I don't make logos. I just make mazes.
Hey, I don't know why I got kept here and everyone else got fired. I'm the only one running the art department. All I know are mazes. All I can draw are mazes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're very artistic, obviously. It shows in your spider corn maze you made last year. Like,
I went to Pratt only for maze work, and now look at me. God, Jonathan, look where you got yourself now. All you have to BS your way through to Survivor, just drawing mazes.
I mean, fake it till you make it, maze guy. Get your coin.
Can't wait for if John Kierhofer's team unfortunately gets let go and Jonathan's put in charge. He's like, oh, God, a maze. Can we do a maze again?
Yeah, how about a maze? We revisited that idea. Real banger idea, I think.
Yes. Survivor oops all mazes. Every single challenge is a maze.
Yeah, with locks and keys and fire, obviously. The whole challenge.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, I don't want to stare at this for too long. let's get into some stuff here on the B&B that we're wanting to do, especially in the preseason. Now, we talked about the cast before. I will say, again, just to repeat a lot of my thoughts that I've talked about for an extended number of hours with Rob, this is an incredibly interesting cast. And I think even more so now that I've like had the time to marinate in it, right? I did the articles, I did the podcast. Mm-hmm. I still do feel like, much more than usual, especially with Modern Survivor, the crop of which contestants can win is significantly larger, as large as a corn maze, I think, than previous years. Liana, before we get into the superlatives that we usually do with this cast to typify things in a more detail-oriented way, what are your overall thoughts about this eclectic group of 18 people?
Well, first of all, I absolutely echo your feelings about the cast. I felt like last year with season 41, there were people who immediately grabbed me as, oh, this is someone that I would want to draft. For example, like Shan, I just immediately connected and vibed with her. And here, I kind of feel that way about everybody. Like, it's hard for me to differentiate. I think that there's no one that, there are a few people that maybe stood out a little bit more than others. But in general, I felt like everybody has a super interesting story. Everybody has had some very interesting experience. They're all really big fans of the show, which is kind of still feels like shocking. The fact that there's two patrons on as well was just it doesn't feel real almost. It feels like this weird alternate universe where the internet got to pick the cast. You know what I mean? Is kind of how it feels. You know, there's still some people that that maybe fall a little bit more into the Mactor territory, but even then, like, I think they're going to make for great TV. So I'm just super fascinated to see how this cast is going to interact with one another, and I just want to see them on my TV screen.
That's the thing. And I'm happy that we got the tribes ahead of time again, so we can sort of prognosticate how these people are going to interact. And to your point, how probably incorrect we are going to be about it. Mm-hmm. Right. Look no further than the big prevailing opinion of Yasa last season, preseason, was, oh, man, Evie and David Voce is going to become like the newest rivalry to rival Sandra and Johnny Fairplay. And no, Evie was, working with Voce up until he ended up getting booted in episode 2. So you never truly know, but this cast is just full of so many X factors, in my opinion, that when it came to things like writing our usual preseason predictions, or in your case, Liana, you know, possibly drafting them on a podcast, it feels like there isn't anybody from my perspective who is like the perfect package for a possible contender. Like, everyone has something going for them and something against them, which I love, because that makes the field a little more equitable to me. I will also say, like, to your point, I think we do have a few physical powerhouses, but I feel like, especially since I've been watching a lot of Australian Survivor, it is literally like night and day. I mean this as no insult to the attractiveness of this cast whatsoever, because they are all beautiful people inside and out. But like, this feels more like a group of people you would, to your point, like run into at like in the audience of a Survivor finale, you know, or like at a live know-it-alls event, than, hey, let's go to California and like handpick 18 people who are going to make for beautiful TV and look good in underwear that we're going to leave them in for 26 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And because there's so much more to everybody, you know, the interviews, the bios, all of that is great, but it can only capture a certain amount about all of these players. And I just want to get to know them more, like especially people who had sort of shorter interviews. They felt like Jackson was one who had a very short interview. I was like, no, more. Like, I am greedy. I need more from you. So, you know, I'm hoping that having them on being able to actually see them in action, I, you know, we'll get to know them even better. But it also makes the preseason predictions just that much more complicated, because everybody, I'm having such a hard time envisioning how I think certain people are going to play. And, you know, when you and Rob kind of broke down, okay, so we have it by tribe, assuming that they're going to stay in their same tribe. How do we think this tribe is going to function? Even with only six people, I was like, oh God, I don't know. I could see Jenny and Hai working together really well. I could see, you know, Lydia and Hai were, I'm like trying to put together the pieces. Yeah. And I just have no really super solid feeling. So, for me, for sure, the preseason predictions are going to be a hot mess.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? That's what we're here for, to make mess.
We are the Hot Mess Podcast. Yeah. So, like, I'm happy to luxuriate in that. And I completely agree. I think some of that can also be an X factor in this is, you know, we have maybe somewhat awareness of what twists are coming this time around. I know in the kickoff show, Rob and I debated, like, what twists are carrying over from 41. Some are going to. So now you factor that in as well. Right. Of like, mm-hmm. OK, now are we going to have somebody get voted out without being able to vote because of the idol thing? You know, are we going to have someone actually play an idol this season? Like, there's X factors contained within the X factors of these people as well. So that being said, let's start to mess this place up a little bit. Let's dump out the trash cans. Let's grease everyone up, as we're about to do here.
Grease up the wrestlers. Let's go.
Yeah. So here's what we do. We do our usual thing here in the preseason where we have a list of superlatives for this cast. We each make some picks about it. That'll sort of derive a little bit of chatter about the contestants. Again, I don't think we're going to luxuriate too much into that this time around because, again, I have talked at length about this cast. At the time you're probably listening to this, Liana will have already talked about this cast as well as part of the draft. So tune into that if you want, like, our semi-serious thoughts about this. This is fitting these people into these very particular molds of these very silly superlatives.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And again, excited to be wrong.
Oh, very much so. So let's provide ourselves the first opportunity. Most likely to have, I call this like a personal segment. I don't know what I was going to say, most likely to have a package, but then I'm like, pretty sure I could get like 9 out of 18 people are probably most likely to have a package from a perspective. Most likely to get that thing that was introduced in Survivor 41, right? Where like they'll sit down, talk about their life outside of the show. We'll probably get some file photos of them, whether it was like from last year or from when they were a baby. But Liana, like you said, 18 really different stories from this cast in particular. Who, in your opinion, is most likely to have one of those segments dedicated to them?
This is so tough because I think you could legitimately pick any single person and they will have, like I said, this cast all has very interesting backstories. The first person that stood out to me, though, that I was trying to think, instead of who's going to have a personal segment, I thought, who's going to have it first?
I like this.
To me, Roxroy was the person who stood out because of how he got on the show, right? Because I felt like that's something that's going to be like, why are you? Oh, I'm here because my wife, you know, like it's going to be about how his relationship with his wife and he, you know, the whole thing about, they should play this way, blah, blah, blah. And then her like signing him up or whatever. So I felt like it's going to be that sort of segment about like him, how he got into the show, why he's here, that kind of stuff. I'm playing for my wife. So that's what I'm going with.
Interesting. Roxroy, you think, is going to have Roxroy Bailey is going to have the first personal segment of the season.
Yes.
Bold choice. I love it. I love the audacity. So I had a couple in mind. So this is unfortunate. I don't want it to be like, well, sob story equals personal content. But, you know, the premiere last year had Sarah's really sad story about losing her grandmother to COVID mm-hmm. before coming out. I don't want to map it completely. I gotta feel like Mariah is going to get a segment early on. She has mm-hmm. this devastating story about losing her brother, one of the first nurses in New York State to pass away from COVID during like the real beginning of the pandemic. I think it obviously, as talked about in my interview with her, like really lingers heavily in her head as to why she's playing out there. And so I have to imagine they incorporated. I know that with 41, we were all sort of surprised by the lack of talk about the pandemic in general. But I think because it pertains specifically to why they are out there, I think we're going to have something dedicated to Mariah and her brother.
I would imagine that. And it's not that. I don't know if the editing teams are the same, but like The Amazing Race, for example, was willing mm-hmm. to talk about that with Lulu and Lala, and they, you know, very much like addressed it head on. So I don't think it's something that they necessarily are afraid to talk about necessarily. And I think for something that is so personal to her, I have to believe that they will cover it to some capacity. Yeah.
The only other person I had was Marianne, just because I think they're going to love Marianne every single opportunity, whether she lasts one episode or 13. I think she's going to get something early on, much in the way that JD did, right? Of like the I used to be weird, except with JD where he's like, now I'm cool and I have my hair like Ozzy. Now she's like, and I'm still weird.
Yeah, I relate to that. Relatable content for sure.
Oh, 100%. Listen, like Marianne's weirdness is the vibe of the B&B, so we cannot help but stand.
Yeah, maybe that's why I vibe with the cast. They're all really weird. Like in a good way.
On the other side of that is most likely to get a purple edit. Mm. Now, it's interesting, Liana, because I said Rox Roy.
No, Rox Roy has to have personal content, Mike. That was
I know, but I was just thinking about it, and I talked about this when we previewed The Tribe with Rob. Rox Roy, to me, just really sticks out as maybe one of the most normal people that has ever been on the show, outside of like that initiative that you said he took of I'm gonna get up off the couch and actually do this. He just seemed like he's not on social media. He's a dad, he's a husband, environmental consultant, formerly, now a stay-at-home dad. Like I'm happy that he's on the show and he's telling his story, but certainly I think in comparison to some of the other people, he doesn't necessarily pop as much. And I'm really looking out for who's gonna have the Heather effect, right? Who is going to be this person, probably on the older side, who is not necessarily going to pop as much compared to the rest of the people, whether due to game circumstances or personality circumstances, which unfortunately did happen to Heather. And so if I'm looking for someone else to kind of fit that mold, maybe it's the blue tribe of it all, but I'm looking at Rox Roy.
I know, but here's the thing, Mike. Have you seen his cast photo?
I mean,
that's my impression of his cast photo. He's like coming at you, man. He's like, he's excited to be like, how happy he looks. He's so excited.
I'm intrigued to see if in his photo shoot he was just screaming fully at the cameraman as they were taking photos.
Yeah, you know, I never think about that, the sounds that people might make while they're taking their photos. That would be a fun game to play. You know, Zach's like, her. Swatch, he's like,
Maybe like a crab crawled on his foot or something and he was freaking out.
Yeah, right when they took that photo, they just captured that. Yeah.
So, all right. So, Liana, who's your purple person of the season?
Okay. So I wasn't thinking from that perspective, but I was just trying to think of the person who I felt was maybe a little bit more muted in some of their interviews. I like Rox Roy as a choice, but I went with Jenny as the person who I thought could have that. You know, she's got the whole like, oh, I'm, you know, this like corporate badass, but she also didn't, her energy was a little bit more muted. And I think that actually could bode well for her in the actual game. But do I think that is going to translate to confessionals? I'm not sure. So that was why I went with Jenny.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, because as I talked about on the podcast, Jenny has big Krista Hasey energy, in my opinion, with just like her inflections. And so, I don't know, I really just want a modern Survivor like, today at the challenge, Jeff told us we have to give our flint back. So I'm hoping for my own selfish sake that we get that. But I can totally see it, especially if Jenny's strategy is, as she says, her leadership style is to be like more in the back pocket and to observe. And so that doesn't necessarily translate to the strongest confessionalist. to your point, my other person up was Jackson too, just because I feel like if he is just generally a man of few words, and he has a great story, but if he's not somebody who's necessarily going to open up and provide all that vocabulary for someone, especially compared to some of these other people that had, you know, basically the like super fan triumvirate of, you know, like Zach, Daniel, and Tori, who were just like providing reams upon reams of stuff to me in my interviews. If Jackson's going to be a little more under the radar, almost like JP from Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, then they might want to cut to him less.
And things like that. That's right.
Oh, my God. Well, now I'm just thinking about the sounds behind photos, and I can only imagine what sound Jonathan is making with maybe one of the most iconic cast photos I've seen in quite some time.
Oh, so good. I just like, what is he going for? Is he trying to be like smoldery, sexy model man?
Or, but like, what's his body language? Why are his arms open? Like, come, my children, feast on me, for I am made of bread. I don't know why that's the first thing I thought of. I thought he was a man made of bread, asking people to eat him.
The gingerbread man. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Hug me.
Yeah.
It sounds like open and inviting.
That's the thing. It feels like he should be wearing a sign that says free hugs, you know?
Are his eyes closed?
I think they're super squinty. I mean, taken like in the sun.
In the sun.
So we might have another Mike White style, like can barely see your eyes just because as several people are doing this. Like you talked about the aforementioned Rox Roy photo is like this.
I think I'm going to start posing like this in the future.
Like
just arms out.
But also squint.
That's my Jonathan impression.
I want you to do that in your daily life and see how people regard you.
Come here, my child.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on here from the charitability of Jonathan to maybe something completely different. Liana, Rickard style, who is most likely to flip on their number one ally of this cast?
Okay, I was going over these with Puya. I was like, this is who I put. And he goes, what? In response to this one. So I'm curious to see if you're going to have the same reaction. I said Omar. And I feel like Omar could give me fun villainy vibes, like in a certain way. I don't know why. Maybe it's the pigeon owl comparison that just I was like, yes, owls are smart and evil. But
okay, your anti-owl bias is showing, I see.
This is a pro owl podcast. Okay. Don't get it twisted. But yeah, I don't know. I just something about exotic pets maybe is what did it. Like I'm imagining him like Dr. Evil petting a lizard or something in his arms.
He doesn't own the pets.
I mean, I know, but he has to care for them. So obviously oh my God, did I tell you my mom got a lizard?
What?
And she takes it everywhere, dude.
She cannot be the Paris Hilton of this lizard.
She drove to Colorado with her lizard and she was like, yeah, he had a hard time the first day because he got car sick. And I was like, how do you know that
that a lizard experiences motion sickness?
Apparently he blinked slowly. He's like, he was blinking. I could just tell in his face. I'm like,
he was blinking.
So she was visiting my sister and I was trying to FaceTime with them or like, you know, video chat with them or whatever. And my mom has the lizard just like sitting on her shoulder, just straight chilling. And then she's like, oh, Gilgi's on the run. And then she's like, jeez.
Wait, okay. The lizard's name is Gilgi. Is that short for Gilgamesh?
The lizard Gilgamesh. I don't know, but its nickname is Gilgi, so sweet little Gilgi. And then she's got like the Gilgi song, and she'll play with him and sing with him. I told my sister, I was like, this is good news when we finally put mom in a home and we just give her like a plastic lizard, she'll be fine.
Oh, Gilgi hasn't been blinking at all. I think he's
very great.
He's been so car sick. We haven't been moving anywhere. Gilgi.
She was like, you can get little harnesses and take them on walks and put little outfits on them. She's waiting for him to grow up because he's still growing. He's still a little baby.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to get like the toddler clothes for your lizard.
Exactly.
Just grow out of it.
I know. And, you know, you would give them to a friend, but like how many friends have Little Lizard?
Zero. Zero have. Okay, so I would say if you ask 100 people, maybe 2 have lizards. 1 might have like the wherewithal to buy clothes for lizards. 0 would have the wherewithal to keep and trade clothes to other people who own fashion forward lizards.
Yeah. Okay. And on top of that, my mom sent me cards for my birthday.
Aw.
And she sent me 4 of them. And I guarantee you, one of them is from the lizard. Like, there's one that's very suspicious, poor handwriting, misspelled doctor. It says like D-O-K-E-R or something like that. And it's like in bad handwriting, like purposefully bad handwriting.
So
and I'm like
assuming...
95% sure it's from, I haven't opened it yet, but I'm like 95% sure it's from the lizard.
So she assumed that like, oh, I taped a pen to Gilgi's little arm and he wrote it. I'm so sorry he misspelled your title.
Oh, this is not new. I frequently would get cards from our pets. Like,
oh my God.
From like Love Sienna, our dog that we had before. Gilgi is now the new.
I have a pet and usually we include it in like the senders, not a separate card entailed by the animal.
No.
Oh man, Gilgi would be a horrible Survivor player because like Gilgi would Sue Hawk the shit out of those votes of just being like Liana, L-E-E-A-N-N-A.
Yeah, exactly. They're all going to be spelled wrong. Yeah, I don't know how
Gilgi,
well
are you
going to
bone me out? Just like slowly blinks.
Just slowly blink. Oh, he's very upset. He's not feeling well today.
All right,
anyway,
well now I can understand why you have suspicions about Omar because he takes care of possibly sardonic lizards.
That's the imagery. Like when my mind gets going on some type of creative idea, it doesn't think to stop. It just sort of goes. And that was what I came up with. And I couldn't convince myself of anything else that would actually make sense. So that's what I went with.
So I think if I'm going back to the Puya reaction, I would say it's somewhere in the middle of you two. He would not be the last person I would go to for this. That would probably be somebody like a Jackson. Like a Mike, maybe even someone like a Lydia who like cites Tom Westman as one of her favorite players of, okay, these are people who probably pride loyalty above all.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't necessarily say they'd be at the top of my list. Maybe it's just because like the way Omar talks about himself, I could see it to a certain extent because if we're just looking at the exterior of it all before the skin gets shed, metaphorically speaking, the Dr. Mike resemblance is certainly there. Mm. And Dr. Mike was much like an animal that Omar might take care of, squirrely AF, when it just came to like being all over the place, right? Getting given half an idol from Lauren Rimmer that he succinctly threw into the fire. So if Omar is able to sort of embody that process within a very different medical field, I could see him be, you know, a little flighty like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Again, the whole like pet lizard thing is in my brain. I feel like Omar is someone who is going to be self-interested in the best way possible. And so I like if Omar were to flip on their number one ally, I would assume that it's for a good cause, much like Ricard flipping on Shan, right? That it's not like I'm flighty and I'm betraying you, but it's more like this is a calculated move that I need in order to succeed. Because I feel like Omar is one of the people that kind of stood out to me in terms of like, good head on your shoulders for the game of Survivor. And so I think that it would be more from that direction.
So that being said, I had something that was stuck in my own lizard brain where I have to say hi. And look, I might be overblowing this entire thing where he's like, I don't believe in long-term loyalty. Mm. You know, I don't want to see a pagonging happen. Like, screw my original tribe if I seek better outcomes. But was that not the story of Ricard? Right? Mm-hmm. He was with Shan the entire pre-merge, and then it got to the post-merge, and he's like, oh, hi, Xander. Hi, Erica. Yeah, I'm going to work with you people now to take out my closest ally. I got to imagine Hi has a very similar mentality. He's very game focused. And so I could very easily see him do exactly what you said. Say, like, I'm in a position right now where I could go with people I'm more comfortable with versus the people I made bonds with early on in the game that would probably constitute a number one ally.
Okay. So actually, Hi was another person that stood out to me, but I think it was what Hi talked about in his interview that was, once I find my people, though, that I will not cross. Because it felt very much like what I got the sense from what Hi was trying to communicate was that I'm not necessarily loyal to sort of artificial demarcations
exactly.
of, of groups. But once I find those people I vibe with, it's ride or die. We're in it to the end. So that was more like how I took it. But I think if it's what you're saying, which is essentially like, yes, I vibed with this person on the small tribe format because I literally had no other options. But now that I have sort of I found my people, like my actual number one. Okay, now like you in the priority list, previous ally, are not my number one anymore. So I'm going to turn on you because I'm self-interested. Yeah, that I totally get. Yeah, I'm so excited for high also. I'm very, very high on high.
That's what I'm mapping out as well, because I think even less. So let's take away from Ricard. That's what happened with Shane and Liana, was it not? That like Shane was super tied with everyone. Then she found Liana. They're crying on the hilltop, and Shane's like, "I'll go to the end with this person based on like beating them in one day." We could see what happens. Did you have any other nominees for this one? Because I feel like this might be a category that a lot of people might fill, considering how cutthroat Modern Survivor is.
So Tori is the redacted player, right? Yeah, so I feel like that type of chaotic energy, if Tori brings that into Survivor, I could also see Tori being willing to make that kind of move, just because, you know, if you're kind of used to like playing in a game which is a lot of twists, a lot of turns, very chaotic, you have to sort of be willing to just flip and turn on a dime. So I could see her also falling under that category.
Yeah, I could definitely see that as well. Now, it's tough because, again, she talks a lot about like lying back in the pocket, right? Not being therapist, Tori. Rob and I talked about this a lot in the Ika Tribe preview of we'll see how much she's able to keep that under wraps. And if indeed like this game mindset does come forward, where if you're playing in a structure where literally every round is different and you're constantly on your feet, like that just might be inherent in her DNA. The last person I had was Jonathan, and it was because of what he said, right? This idea of, I'm going to be the big guy, the provider, tribe strong on the surface, but I'm going to cause chaos in the background. Still not sure what that means, right? Is he going to like pee in the limited rice that they had? Is he going to just extend his arms and then, you know, swat people away? I'm not entirely sure, but you'd have to imagine that entails him being like, yeah, I'm just going to do whatever. He might have a bit of big move-itis, I'm predicting.
I could see that as well, especially if they don't end up going to tribal a lot early. Mm-hmm. I think that then you're going to get, you know, kind of ants in your pants, if you will, and really want to play the game. So I could see that happening to Jonathan.
Remember in Survivor Millennials versus Gen X when everyone was covered in ants during a challenge?
Oh my God. Yeah, I do remember that. God, that would be not fun. You know, I know Rob talked about Survivor being so much fun, but, the ants on your toes. No.
Especially during an endurance challenge, right? Where it's like, you can't brush them off. And that's all that's going to be on your mind is like, something's crawling on me. I can't do anything about it. It's the worst. It's the
absolute
worst.
If you had a lizard, if Gilgi was there, Gilgi would just snap up all the bugs. That's what he eats, bugs.
So could Gilgi technically be a provider? Maybe not a provider, more like an exterminator of like, oh, the bugs suck at night. Well, Gilgi's here.
Think about if Gilgi was there in Marquesas, the no-nos wouldn't even be an issue, you know, just so full. Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, Gilgi would be like a lizard Aussie, if you think about it. A Lizzie.
yes. Okay, good. That's actually the new archetype, the casting archetype that we're going for.
Yeah, and then we just directly segue into Lizzo after that, just to make the full transformation complete.
So I, one time on I think it was a Big Brother subreddit, it was a suggestion where it was every time someone gets voted out of Big Brother, they get replaced by a golden retriever.
Yes, we talked about this, I think, during one of the Big Brother podcasts.
Yes, and that idea has absolutely stuck with me, and I would be totally down for that on Survivor as well, that you just like start replacing it with, it could be any, doesn't necessarily have to be a dog, but you know, you replace someone with a lizard, and then like the lizard lives on in their place. And then you can imagine at the challenge, it's like three people and three lizards, and they're like trying to move these boulders, and it would be very
now,
exciting.
What size are we talking? Are we talking like super tiny? Are these human-sized lizards?
Yeah, like that Spider-Man movie of that guy that turns himself into a lizard or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking that. I didn't really obviously think the idea through, if you can tell. So we'd have to workshop it. We could try one season with either.
All right, we'll try. Yeah, we'll be like, all right, you know what? I think the size of the lizards was the real issue behind her lizard swap twist. I think if we make them the size of the contestant, that'll really make for more equity and challenges.
Yeah, that'll go. That'll be much, 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 much better. I'm excited for the Survivor Season 43 logo with a lizard on the side.
Yeah, just lizards crawling all over the place.
And fire, obviously. Gotta have the
fire.
Oh
my God, yeah, don't get the lizards near the fire. All right, well, let's talk about perhaps someone who would podcast about Season 43. This is a tried and true superlative. Most likely to start a podcast. I had a clear number one in my head right now. Daniel Strunk is going to do a podcast where he's like, here's the TV I watched this week via my Google Docs.
Ah, okay. Yes. Okay. So it's the spreadsheet podcast.
Right. Because I think it's very much like, look, Alexander Chester has become his own proliferated podcaster through his own eccentricities. I feel like Daniel Strunk was very much similar in the method of his tracking. And so I do think there might be merits to him being like, okay, what did I watch / listen to this week? Here's a list. I was able to recount it properly.
Okay, yeah, I like this idea. Also, side note, I think Puya came up with this, but we were talking about it, that if you want to have a pickup line for somebody who creates like these kind of content spreadsheets, you'd be like, sup, I'd like to spread your sheets. No? Okay.
Well, I think there are two different things, because spreading entails something. Sheets can be involved, right? Because that's usually in the location. I don't like sheets. When you're using that as a euphemism, it's a little too much for me personally.
Well, obviously you're not the target audience, okay?
Well, yeah, obviously. Like I'm more of a curtain rod than a sheet, more so speaking if we're using bedroom terminology, but
I think it works. I'm gonna try.
Yeah, I go more so with curtains than I would with sheets in particular.
But it's a spreadsheet, Mike. That's the
I
point.
Know. Yeah, but I don't spread sheets. Well, I guess I spread them out on the bed.
Yeah, well, it's more like getting under the sheets is what I was thinking.
Oh, so, gotcha. So, like, causing like separation between the sheets.
Yeah, like, we're going to get in the sheets together.
Spread your sheets or, like, start a new tab.
Oh, yeah.
Open up like a new tab.
Ooh, let me open up a new tab with you, girl.
Ooh,
okay.
Ooh, I like that.
Good thing Know-It-Alls is coming up. I can practice these. I think Puya will be fine with
it. Yeah, she'll be there. Here's what happens. Well, you'll divide and conquer. You do the spreadsheets. He does the open up a new tab. See how many numbers you get by the end of the night.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Now, I totally forgot what we were talking about. Daniel. Yes. Okay. So totally agree. I think that would be a good idea. I actually had Daniel as someone who was, I had two options for this, Daniel being one of them. The other one that I had was Zach because like just felt very natural. I feel like there's some play with his last name because it's Wurtenberger, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know exactly what it is. But there's a pun in there somewhere
about a podcast or just in general
for the name, Wurten the world are you talking about or something like
Wurt in the world are you Wurten. Talking about?
Yeah,
let's run with this. Okay, so Zach has a podcast called Wurt in the World Are You Talking About, where I think he has on an expert that he knows nothing about the subject matter.
Right.
Right. He's like, okay, so you're David Voce, you're a neuroscientist. Like, talk to me about this procedure. And he talks through other and goes, where in the world are you talking about? I don't know what medulla oblongata is. Can you talk more about that?
Exactly. And then they can play Wharton the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Oh,
but
I
it's
like that.
It's for the, you know, the geography minded sub podcast, right? Obviously, like once a month.
Yeah, the other one I was thinking of was You Better Wurt, where it's
good.
Maybe it's him talking to various occupations, or it could be him recapping Drag Race. I don't know if he's the target audience for it, but sure, if he loves the show.
You better Wurtenberger.
You better Wurtenberger. Well, on that note, actually, so I had two as well. The other option I had was Lydia, but then it made me sort of go down this rabbit hole. Do Gen Z start podcasts? Like, are they podcasters? Is that
I
generation?
Feel like that's choogy. Starting a podcast is choogy. Yeah.
Like, I feel like because that's become a bit of a joke amongst maybe not millennials, but just like people in general, that everyone has a podcast. Are Gen Z avoiding that content creation?
Ooh, do Gen Z listen to podcasts?
I would imagine a little bit, at least. But I don't know if they go ahead and start podcasts.
Let's see. So there is an article on podcastreview.org, the 7 best podcasts for teens by Gen Z creators. So there's at least 7.
But, okay, good.
wait, one of them's Jessica Alba. No, featuring Jessica Alba.
What? Okay. What? Well, she like pop in from time to time? Like the mom landing like, your kid's having fun? You're doing a good podcast?
I don't know how old she is, but I don't think she's Gen Z. No. But yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe next time you meet a Gen Z or you can ask them. We can include that with ours. Oh, we can make a spreadsheet about it.
Oh.
And then after I do the pickup line, then I'll ask the question about do you listen to podcasts?
Listen, I'll spread your sheets. By the way, would you start a podcast? What a follow-up.
I'm a real hit with hitting on people. Yeah, that's me.
All right, well, let's go into another superlative here. Let's go on island. Liana, most likely to have an advantage, screw them over. We know there will be advantages aplenty. Last season, not really much doing with the advantages, luckily. I do not expect that to be the case this time around. So who do you think is most likely to either get, like, you know, the no vote from the idol finding or have, like, a knowledge is power played on them?
Well, I just, because we can't have nice things, I went with the person that I'm excited about, which is Chanel. It always happens that, you know, I feel like favorites get screwed over. So I go with Chanel, or the other person I picked was High, because of course we can't have nice things.
Yeah. Just like advantages aplenty. It happens to your favorites at the end of the day. Yeah. So I stuck with that tribe too. I went with Mike because again, I think between his comparisons to Tony and Ty, I think he is going to be somebody that's like always hustling, got to go out in the jungle and find those idols. And it might not even be that, you know, he finds the beware advantage and like can't vote and gets voted out. It honestly might be a thing of, where's Mike? He's out in the jungle. We have to vote him out. So I sort of like stretch the definition of this, admittedly, that it's less about a specific advantage screws you over and more so because you're suspected of having an advantage, you get voted out just because you're hunting around the jungle for something.
Do you know for sure if the do or die twist is back, or was that just speculation?
That was just speculation. I'd have to imagine it is the case, because I think like every single promo I have seen for Survivor 42 has included that moment, right? Has included, you know, everyone like Liana and Ricard and Xander doing the equivalent of Eliza when Ozzy's voted up, like, oh my God, they love that TV moment. If you're a TV producer, I don't see how in any world you're not like, we're got to try that again and see what happens.
Right. Yeah. Especially because if these were back to back seasons, I would imagine that, you know, I mean, they look, art department maze guy has been working very hard on the little boxes. So, you know, got to bring them back.
Yeah, exactly. Of like, all right. But to figure out whether you have a flame or a skull, you have to take the ball through the little tiny maze in the box.
Yeah. And then unlock the box once you get your key.
All right. Well, speaking of advantages, the final one, which I think is very fun, most likely to bungle their idol phrase. Liana, who is going to be the equivalent of little broccoli trees for this season?
First of all, I can't tell you how excited I am that the phrases are coming back. I don't care if they're played out. I don't care that they're silly. I don't care that they're stupid. In fact, that's why I love them. And it just brings me joy. And because I know that they can't really do this again, right? Because now the since they're casting all super fans, obviously they will have seen the seasons 41 and 42. So they're going to know. So I'm really sad that this is going to be the last time, most likely, that we will see these secret phrases. So I just want to say that I love them and I'm very much here for the phrases. So, that being said, I had Jonathan as my person who I thought could potentially, you know, bungle a phrase. I feel like he would be likely to find the idol for one. Like I could see if he's out there like gathering supplies, whatever.
Well, he's very tall. So if it's in a tree, he does have that natural advantage.
That is exactly correct. Yes. His arms are already out. He's like ready to grab it. You know,
he just keeps his arms out at all times like they're in casts. And he's just like...
It's like a net, you know, you just sort of like walk through the forest, just sort of sweeping up anything.
As if you just tape two rakes to the side of a very tall stick. That's Jonathan.
Yeah. Yeah. It's essentially the same. So I feel like he would find it. And I feel like he could, you know, he could bungle the phrase, which I'm excited for.
Yeah, I could see that. I was trying to think back onto like who, you know, tripped over their words maybe the most in my interviews. I did go with Marianne possibly because I think she could get incredibly excited and just like talk over her words so much that like the phrase just completely turns out into be nonsense. I totally agree. I am so excited for this because I think we still do need another season of people saying weird ass shower thoughts and everyone else just turning in looking like, what? What is wrong with you?
Easily the best twist Survivor has ever done. I'm sure I complained about the actual mechanics of it during the season, right? Because of public idol, the knowledge is power, how all of that factored in together. But just the phrases, having to say this phrase is just making people do dumb stuff. It's just glorious to me.
Not only that, but also having to repeat it multiple times, right? When you're Xander and you're like, oh, God, what do I have to say? The butterfly thing. Which, speaking of, Liana got a very special gift in the offseason. I think you need to tell the world about it.
Okay, so did I mention that I love the stupid phrases yet? I feel like I haven't. In case it wasn't clear, I'm very obsessed. And I was just perusing the internet. Puya's birthday was coming up. I was like, I should get him a gift. I ended up on the Survivor CBS store.
As you do.
As one does. I was like, okay, maybe they've got something cool. Let me just take a little gander, a little look-see. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And lo and behold, to my utter and complete joy, CBS has decided to not only have the phrases, but to create merch based on said phrases.
Oh my God.
I immediately was like, yes, I am purchasing this. So for Puya,
there you go. Okay.
Yeah, I bought him the mug. So first of all, it has the now by comparison very glorious Force One logo.
The real simplistic beauty, the gallant to the goofus that is Survivor 42 logo.
Very, very much. Yeah, speaking of highlights magazines with the maze, it like exactly fits. And on the other side, it says, I'm confused as a goat on AstroTurf. And there's no goat. There's just some like little leaves at the bottom, which I'm like, okay, we couldn't afford to like put a little, you know.
Also, is that AstroTurf? Like, I'm pretty sure AstroTurf does not entail foliage. It's just grass usually.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, so I don't understand. They're legitimate leaves. They're not just like a green, like spiky, like it's green spikies.
Yeah, this is not like that's the Mario background. That's not AstroTurf.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that was a choice. Very cute. Obsessed. Mm-hmm. Love it. Had my coffee in it earlier. And then for my t-shirt, for me, I bought this. I truly believe that butterflies are dead relatives saying hi. And there's a little, they decided to go with the actual butterfly this time. There's like a clip art butterfly.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to, we're going to.
It's weirdly spaced.
We're
going
to do this because I do have the CBS store up. And so we can go into this to just sort of like be able to go through it here. Actually, I'll retool it so we can get even closer. We can peruse the CBS store for a hot second and look at these things. Because, Liana, just to not have you like puff up your chest the entire time like you're Jonathan posing for his cast photo.
Hug me.
Exactly. All right. So, okay. Well, so there we go. All right. So let's start with I'm as confused as a goat on AstroTurf.
Again, with the little leaves.
I'm so intrigued by the font size here. That is just the first thing you should see is goat.
Goat! Now, is that goat like greatest of all time or goat like a goat?
Well, I mean, listen, Tom Brady is often talked about as the GOAT. He certainly has no problem on AstroTurf.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's the thing. I don't understand. Like, are goats inherently, you know what? I don't think we addressed this. Are goats inherently confused on AstroTurf? They're like, I can't eat this.
I mean, that's the point, I think, right? It's like, but what is this? I thought I'd bring you brought in for a dinner. Not a show.
I can't eat this. Ow, my tummy.
But I did like the word cloud aspect of this. Of like, okay, what's the most important word? Clearly goat. Even though we featured AstroTurf. Okay, what's next? Confused. AstroTurf and like just working your way down.
Yeah, right. The order of operations, it goes goat confused on AstroTurf and then I'm as a.
Yeah, okay, those are filler cool. words, right? They're like, just get rid of it. Just say confused goat AstroTurf, I think that's totally fine. But yeah, like you said, this little underline almost looks like a border that you would put on clip art or something like that of
right.
like pixel art.
One of those like PowerPoint has those auto designs. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. So let's talk about dead relatives saying hi with butterflies. I mean, this is a hot mess. This is so first off, like it's in sentence case, I guess, right? Because like the I is capitalized.
Yeah, but there's no period. I guess the butterfly is the period.
The butterfly is the ultimate nature's punctuation mark. The butterfly. Just like the caterpillar goes through metamorphosis to be punctuated by the butterfly at the end.
Yeah. I mean, an exclamation point kind of looks like a butterfly without wings.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever said.
It's also the most arguably sociopathic thing you've ever said of like pull wings off a butterfly. That's the exclamation point.
Just yanking wings off of the butterflies.
Yeah, like something Jeffrey Dahmer would say.
Look at the pig. Look at the. I don't know why I'm pointing. Like the little line. It looks like an exclamation point.
I mean, this butterfly. I love that it exists at the end here for various reasons. Why is it orange? I don't know.
I don't know.
But why, to your point, is it the most bare bones thing? Like this is. Wild to me, this typography, this layout, it is so freaking
I'm telling
janky.
You, it's Maze Guy. He's up, he's at it again.
This poor man is now like, all right, you're marketing guy now. Okay, I sort of scribbled it onto a note card, but like, you don't have to use this layout. Nope, we're printing it right now. Yeah, put a butterfly at the end.
Just stick it on there. Yeah, so here the hierarchy is butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
Saying hi, and then everything else. Also, I truly believe.
Yeah, so I did Google it, and I think that because these are in articles from like end of September when Survivor 41 had premiered, that I truly believe was always a part of the phrase.
Okay, all right, yeah, I truly believe you.
But why is it like diagonal as well? Why is it slanted?
It's slanted, but it's also not evenly spaced.
Yeah, like, that's the other thing. So they're like, all right, butterflies on one line. We got to squeeze about four words into the next one.
Yeah, it's like me trying to write a sign, you know, when you do the first couple letters really big and then you run out of room at the end. It's just like very poor.
Yeah, the John Mulaney happy birthday bit, right? Big ass H, big ass A.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was a choice, and it's like so tiny. I don't
that's the other thing
know.
As well. Like, yeah, it goes. It's like probably what, like 3 inches.
Yeah. Hold on, I have a ruler here.
You have a ruler readily available. What are you doing?
Don't judge me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about 3.5 inches.
All right. I mean, that's one open tab.
Yeah, but it's weird because the goat on AstroTurf, so I have the mug, but it's also on a t-shirt, the I'm as confused as goat on AstroTurf, but it's giant, like it's big block lettering.
Yeah, look by comparison, this is massive. This goes down to like, I would say probably like the bottom of your rib cage. This barely gets to your to like the end of your little like doodad that's at the top of your ribs.
It's like not even to my nipples.
Oh my god. Not even a so nipple tiny. Height.
Not even nipple height. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's very, and they're different fonts. Like, I don't understand why. Okay. Goat, big, bold. Butterflies, like tiny, delicate. Maybe delicate. That's what they were going for. You know,
I also, not going to lie, I don't want to wear a shirt that says dead relatives on it personally.
How dare you?
Even if I got a Johnny Fairplay, you know, she died, dude, shirt. I don't want to. Listen, when if I were to try to pick up people using a spreadsheet line, I don't know if I'd be like, hey, by the way, stare right at my chest where you can see the words dead relatives right at eye line level.
Well, this is going to go quite well with my spreadsheet pickup line.
All right. Well, I think we say perhaps the worst for last, though, because look,
oh God,
the butterflies looks like a freaking Monet compared to the broccoli quote line. It's It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Did Dan Rengering design this?
I was about to bring that up. Like, somehow the F fake friend shirt is better than this. I couldn't even, Mike, like, I don't know if I mentioned it. I love the phrases. I couldn't even bring myself. I was going to get all three, like one of each, and I just could not bring myself to get this one. It's so ugly. It's so stupid. It's like they didn't even try at all. No. There's no broccoli. There's no tiny tree. It's just someone just typed it up and slapped it on there.
I mean, they probably forgot about it, if we're being completely honest. They thought of these, maybe it's because the other ones are so animalistic, right? Like goats, butterflies, those evoke images. And they're like, broccoli. Well, I know how to do animals. I can't do vegetables. Don't even get me near minerals.
Do not bring this in the household. I just like, did they use, I feel like order of the, where did they put the most effort? Let's go with, I think goat on AstroTurf was the one that they put the most effort into.
Oh yeah.
Then
100%.
The butterflies, then the broccoli, because this is just, this is like you just wrote your name on the assignment. Like you didn't even fill it out. Energy.
This is if a sixth grader had to design a show shirt for their production of Crazy for You, they could come up with a better design. This is like, all right, let's take the Calibri font and write, I didn't know that until now, ... line break. Broccoli is just a bunch of small trees. No punctuation, no increase in font size whatsoever. It is the most basic shirt, I'll be completely honest, that I have maybe seen in my life.
Like, how will I know what words to focus on when certain ones are different sizes? Like, I can't even prioritize here, you know?
I don't want to, like, have an eye test when I'm having a conversation with people of, like, all right, can you read the full sentence on my shirt with no emphasis on any words to make them stand out from others?
Oh my god. Oh, you know what? I think I just realized. I can't really see it on the gray one, but I notice it on the blue one. There's little green dots.
What?
Oh, above and below.
Maybe it focuses more on the mug design. Or actually there is no mug design because they thought it was stupid. Yeah, there is little green.
They did the other two and then forgot that they had a third phrase. And then they were like, oh, crap.
Yeah, and let's look at the options here. If you want to check out the CBS store. So Goat on AstroTurf is available in shirt form. It's available in mug form. It is available in sweatshirt form because, look, it is still winter out there somewhere. And I believe that Butterflies is available in just shirt and mug. So, again, you're really talking about, like, the hierarchy, right? I believe broccoli is just available on a shirt. They do not say we're not putting this on our mugs whatsoever. There's one more that we have to talk about, though. And if you're watching the video, it is staring at you in the face. Drop the four.
Keep the one.
Well, I'm going to go to the mug version of this.
Oh, my gosh.
Dear Lord.
They're all in.
Who would want this? The phrases are at least like fun and jokey. Who on earth wants a mug that says drop the four, keep the one? How would that apply to your life whatsoever? The rest are like fun little shower thoughts that are like, oh, these are fun things. Who would want to rock around and be like, oh, Mondays, am I right? Drop the mun, keep the day.
I simultaneously understand where you're coming from and also think that that is absolutely a ridiculous take. These are all stupid. It's all dumb. No one should own these. Yet here I am, festooned in stupid sayings from a TV show that it's been on the air for 20 years. Like, am I really going to draw the line? I drop before, keep the wand? Like, no, I'm looking at it now and I'm kind of like, ooh.
But don't worry. This is one of the most, they went all in on this one. So this is not only available in mug form, it's available on t-shirt form, but apparently only at the pocket level. So it has this printed on your nipple, drop the four, keep the one. You can't have it printed across your chest. In one specific spot, and it's on a hoodie. It's perhaps the largest on the hoodie where it's just right across the chest there. So you do have options, but they put a lot into drop the four, keep the one.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm upset about is that I can't get it on a denim bucket hat because apparently they only have the Survivor Season 41 logo on the denim bucket hat. but I would love a drop the four, keep the one on a denim bucket hat. And I'm just going to keep saying the words denim bucket hat until it sinks in how stupid a denim bucket hat is.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, oh, I really need to keep the sun out. But at the same time, I need to sweat profusely from wearing heavy material on my head.
Why is it denim? It's like a full Canadian tuxedo with the bucket hat as well.
And I'm pretty sure that I don't know if Ricard ordered one, but he very much did like the wish.com thing where apparently the 41 logo came back very, very badly butchered. And I don't know if it was on the bucket hat, but if that's the case, that really is adding insult to injury. Now you have to wear not only a denim bucket hat, but a denim bucket hat that has a warped version of the Survivor 41 logo on it.
Oh, that's so funny. Do you remember in season, it was Game Changers when they screwed up the spelling of one of the tribes to Vow to Vua or whatever it was.
Colin Stone has that shirt of that misprint.
Oh, I own that shirt of that misprint. Oh, like, believe me, anything weird. I don't want a normal logo. Okay. I'm here for like the absurd, the misspelled, the dumb phrases. I just want the rejects.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm not logged in, but I would add it all to my wish list. And you all can too. If you go to the CBS stop shop, one stop shop. Though you'll make many stops, and you know, namely you stopping yourself and being like, why am I on this page? Why am I buying these things? But if you are so inclined, I love the fact that they marketed this. Like, absolutely incredible that they went all in on these phrases of, yeah, they're stupid. We had a great time with them, and now you can live with them for the rest of your life. You can wear them on a shirt.
Same. Exactly. Just like embrace the weird. Embrace it. I can't wait to get my very own. I have skin. Potatoes have skins. Am I a potato?
Yeah, I don't. I'll like maybe right up there with dead relatives. I don't want to wear a shirt that says I have skin. That makes me feel like they're going to assume I have someone in my basement.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The whole serial killer of it all. Yeah, look, I haven't worn this shirt out yet. But, we'll see.
If you go to the live know-it-alls in May, are you going to wear the shirt?
I mean, I think I have to.
I think you have to now. I think we put that out there in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I'm definitely going to wear it. It's going to be my good luck charm, I hope, for the draft. It will guide me, you know, in the right direction, much like it guided Xander to... Never mind. I take it back. Okay. Whew. All right. I have to, like... My mouth hurts from laughing so much. I need to like get it back together. Okay. Speaking of laughing, let's laugh at some casuals comments.
Oh boy.
We are going to Casuals Corner to get some preseason thoughts from the casuals themselves. Now, I have to say from the onset that yes, it is still full of people complaining about wokeness. There were sort of like three styles of comments on the casual page, which was one, complaining about survivors too woke. Two, complaining about Australian Survivor being taken off of Paramount Plus.
I mean, that is a valid complaint. That thing came out of nowhere.
Right? It was so weird. Like, I don't understand. Whatever. I guess that's my comment on the Facebook page, or like three legitimate comments and thoughts about the season. So I focused on the last one, people that, you know, actually had legitimate thoughts. So the way that that I've broken this game up and we'll you know, no need to keep score. We'll just play some fun little thoughts here. You know, Mike, you spent so much time going through the cast, but can you pick out what Survivor contestant these comments are about? So no multiple choice. I'm just going to read you a comment and then you will try to identify which Survivor player this comment is about.
Okay.
Right. So the way that they do the posts on the Facebook page is they will have a post about each contestant. So they post their bio or their little like 1 minute video or whatever. And so these were comments that were made under that person's video. So about that person. Okay, before we play, there's one comment that I just have to read. I didn't know where to put it, so I'm just going to read it. Please, okay, this is a casuals comment corner. Please don't tell me they brought Boston Toad back.
Boston Toad?
Is it an autocorrect? Is it like legitimately Boston Toad? I've never heard that before.
I've never, in the decades that Rob Mariano has been on our screens, I don't think I've ever heard the nickname Boston Toad.
Yeah, me neither. And I thought the casuals liked Boston Toad. So I don't really understand like where this is coming from. Anyway,
unless they're thinking like, oh, you know, Amber's the princess and she kissed him. And now
I see. Like she turned him into a
Boston human. Prince. Yeah.
Boston Prince. Oh, maybe instead of lizards, we replace them with toads. Okay. Mm. Add that to the idea list. Also, Russell Hance had a comment, like actual Russell Hance had a comment.
What?
Where can we see them all with full screen so I can start my two-part analyzation of the cast?
Okay. There's several things about this. Russell, get your eyes checked. I don't think you need full screen.
You can full screen them, though. Like,
yeah, just, like, Russell, you know, there's a button you can press. Two, great. Thank you for defining how many parts your air analysis is going to be of the cast.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just an odd thing to advertise. Maybe he was trying to get some Facebook traffic over there, like, check out my, it's much like Dune. It's a two-part analysis that I'm doing. I'm putting out multiple parts at once, but it's on, like, on the big screen. Mine's on the full screen.
It didn't even make it to the top. It was, like, buried deep in the comments, and it had two likes on it. So I don't,
wow.
I think
not
a
lot of penetration for Russell.
I know. Think about all the sheets he's not spreading. So yeah, I don't really, that was weird. That was a weird thing. Also, I don't know if you've heard, but, if you know, obviously Randy, top five human, does all of his fabulous drafts, but right. There is a facebook.com/fantasy_games/survivor where you can take it up a notch and try Fantasy Survivor, where you can predict winners, play with friends, or battle against other fans.
Or, why is it or?
I don't know. Pick? You can only do one of those. I choose to battle.
Yeah, I want blood.
Yeah.
Screw you, grandma.
Yeah, exactly. Take
fuck
that,
off, Aunt Judy. I'm taking high.
Screw you, Betty. Okay, so, but it's available on mobile only, and I was on my computer, so I didn't open the link. So I don't know. It could be phishing.
Wait, it's available. But it was, wait, so there's a website, but it's mobile only?
Yes.
Oh my
There's
God.
Not an app. Is that an app? Maybe it links you to an app. I don't know.
Right, Facebook.com. Facebook.com.
facebook.com/fantasy_games/survivor.
Okay. Well, that really just rolls off the tongue.
It's so easy to find. Like, I didn't understand. This is not the game within the game, though.
I got a something went wrong, so maybe a bit of a work in progress.
Wait, hold on. Let's see. Fantasy. What? _games/plural.
Games plural? Maybe that's the problem. I put games plural.
Yeah, games plural. Let's see. Well, because I try, like I said, oh yeah, I also got something went wrong. Okay, well, all right, well, whatever. Someone can.
Maybe it'll be up by the time the premiere happens, so that way you can beat your relative senseless at this game.
Mm, very excited. Survivors for families, that's what they say. So just got to drag your family. Okay,
so between this and like the Survivor NFTs, I don't know how I feel about this season expanding into the larger universe.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, you don't know about this? Okay, Mike. Let me see if I can find this.
No.
Some news has been spread. Survivor, Leon, I'm just going to ask you, go to SurvivorNFT.com.
No. Oh, no. Is this real?
No game is safe on Meta Island. Collect clues from your very own NFTs and get future access to the first ever Survivor game in the metaverse.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. You can own your favorite Survivor characters. You can own the biggest moments in Survivor history. You can own hidden immunity idols for advantages. You can own your avatar and join Meta Island trademark and own the competition and win the game. A lot of owning going on.
Is Meta Island like, yeah, okay.
It's, oh, on, it's with Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. Oh, let's, all right, here we go. Let's read this. What survivors will be on Meta Island and can I get their NFT? Yes, you can. I don't know why they asked that question. We currently have NFTs as personal videos and trading cards from Survivor winners and fan favorites like Sandra Diaz-Twine, Sari Fields, Yul Kwan, Davey Rickenbacker, Todd Herzog, Rachel Aiko, the first boot from Survival Millennials vs. Gen X.
Okay.
Tommy Sheehan. Nina Twine from Australian Survivor. They made sure to emphasize Australian Survivor in that. Michaela Bradshaw, Johnny Fairplay, Adam Klein, and many more. Each Survivor's video NFT will be available to own, plus it will be connected to a special clue that will only be revealed to the owner of that NFT, which may actually help you in the upcoming game.
What?
Yeah, so there is going to be a game in the metaverse, like an actual Survivor game, and you can get advantages of that through NFTs that you purchase. Liana, I think we are looking down the barrel of a possible plot of like Survivor 45.
Ooh, you think this is like the like a trial for it, or you think they're prepping?
I mean, this is obviously, I don't know, this is tough. Like, it has to be linked to the show, otherwise it has to get shut down. And I don't think you would have castaways affiliated with it if CBS didn't give at least some permission.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And like, I mean, it's very obviously, like, it's not like trying to be a Survivor knockoff. You know what I mean? Like, it says Survivor Meta Island is inspired by the iconic reality TV show Survivor, which airs on CBS. Like, they legitimately also list CBS, right? So it's like, what?
We're going to put a pin on this because I want to talk more about this, I think, in the weeks to come. But yeah, this popped onto my radar. I think we need to marinate on this a bit, especially once the season happens. Like, how does this get involved? But I just wanted to put that out there for everyone's curiosity. This is the state of our world in 2022. Back to Facebook.
I will tell you that the Masked Singer did NFTs this past season. And I told him, I was like, I'm investing our retirement savings in NFTs.
In Masked Singer NFTs.
In specifically Masked Singer NFTs. I was promptly shut down, but I thought it was a good idea at the time. Okay, back to Facebook. Facebook. Okay, so Mike, I'm going to read a comment and you have to tell me what Survivor this is about. Okay, and these are all contestants from this season, so no more Boston Toad. All right, here is your first comment. Survivor going all out. They got Thanos. This dude will use the Infinity Stones to win every challenge and turn back time during Tribal Council.
So I think it has to be one of the bald guys. I'm going to think who looks more like Thanos. Probably Mike. Because Mike has that steely look in his like video and has more of the hardened attitude than I think Jackson does.
That is correct. Yes, your twin, Mike Turner.
Yep, that's him.
The one described as Thanos, which actually, then I look back at his photos like, yeah, he does kind of look like Thanos. Like,
a smidge. You know,
gives me some Thanos vibes in the best way possible.
He's okay. Thanos. He's Tony and Thanos combined.
And Ty also.
Titonos.
Titonos. That's great. Rolls off the tongue.
I love those pizza rolls.
Yeah, but you got to make sure they cool down. They'll burn your tongue if you eat them too fast. Yeah, problem. Okay, here is your next comment. My soul brother, I know that with the knowledge you have about database, will talk you to greater heights.
All right, well, database has to make me feel like it's high because he's a data scientist. I don't know why he's this person's soul brother, nor how that applies to anything going on with Survivor. But if they find a commonality, like all the power to this person.
I mean, I know that you guys talked a lot about, because people will often say, well, this skill in my job does blah, blah, blah. Never in my life would I think that the knowledge you have about database will talk you to greater height in the game of Survivor.
Like, if Nate Silver goes out there, I don't think he's of any advantage over somebody else.
It's like I crunched the numbers. 16.6% repeating. Yes, but you are correct. It is about high. Okay, your next comment. OMG, my soul sister. I'm an actor and bartender, too. I just love you. You're going to be the one I'm rooting for. There's a lot of exclamation points.
Now, is this the same person who wrote the thing about high, just calling everyone their soul brothers and sisters?
No, which is what was fascinating about the whole thing. I didn't realize that this is like, now we're in the era of soul brothers and soul sisters. Like, hey, soul sister, that song was, 2000, whatever.
2011 or something. Yeah, let's get on the train, in a manner of speaking. So this is Lydia, the slashy herself.
Yes, that is correct. And one day we hope to find out if this person's soul sister listens to podcasts or it would ever start a podcast.
Exactly.
Very relevant information. Okay, your next comment is, he'd better worry he's not a sitting duck, laughing face emoji.
Okay. Is this an animal joke about Omar is what I'm puzzling. Because I'm trying to think, is there anyone else who has the name duck in their, the word duck in their name? I don't believe so with just like an initial scan. And no, there's no one like sitting in their photo or anything. So like that wouldn't imply anything. I guess I have to go with Omar because they assume he takes care of ducks.
Okay, here's another comment about this person. Maybe this will help. I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Coming in hot, like a hawk.
I mean, I think it has to be Omar. I think they're just finding all these animals to be like, oh, what do they take care of? Ducks and hawks.
Yeah, I think it was the birds. Like he must have mentioned, I didn't actually watch the videos, but it must have been the supercut of the like the bird metaphor.
The bird metaphor, the pigeon and owl is something that has been talked about in my interview with him. It was talked about in the 1 minute video and it was talked about in the commercial. So like clearly this is something that Omar pre-prepared coming in.
Yeah, it's like a bird thing. But yes, that is correct. It is Omar. Okay, your next comment. Lord, one night, Cochran, Adam, and Todd had a threesome, and this is what they made. Ha ha.
Well, I mean, I have several questions about the logistics behind that for many reasons. This has got to be Zach, you better Wurtenberger.
Yes! Zach, you better Wurtenberger.
Berg's the house down.
Berg's the house down. Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka.
Just imagine Zach playing and I are like, I'm pussy, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. He gets voted out. Oh, Jesus, gross. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. Yes, that is about Zach, which I, as soon as I saw it, Cochran, Adam, Todd, threesome, it's like, all right, I got it.
I mean, listen, I'd love to put a camera in that room and see what the dialogue is, right? What's the foreplay on that?
Yeah, right. How does that work? I'm just curious logistically. All right. Your next comment is, do I smell a challenge beast? There's lots of eyes. So
okay, I didn't realize Dwayne the Rock Johnson was a Survivor casual, like holding the mic. Do I smell a challenge beast? Yeah. So I got to imagine that. Interesting, because this could be Jonathan. Like Jonathan obviously has the aesthetics, but it also could be someone like Drea or even Lindsay, who talks a lot about athletics. I have a feeling it's Jonathan, but I'll go off the bean bath here and say Drea.
So it was the third person you named. It was Lindsay. Oh, so yes, you were in the right area. Right idea. Right idea. Okay. And here's the last one. Look, this one's going to be obvious, but I don't care. I need to discuss this with you.
Okay.
Survivor is no place for a seminary student.
Oh, no. It's the freaking Shan thing all over again, isn't it? Are we in for a season of like, this is an immoral game? A seminary. We're talking about Marianne, who is a seminary student. Like, this is no place for the devout. We're in for another season of that, unfortunately speaking.
Yeah, I was like, wait, I'm sorry, what? I don't understand. What do you mean? Like, are you saying like you have to prevent certain professions because, I don't know, you're a seminary student, so God would not allow you to play Survivor?
I think it's very much a thing, because this was talked about with Shan, particularly when she had that confessional of like, you know, as a pastor, my job is for people to come in with one idea and I convince them to do something else that like really did not hit well for people. That's what you do as a pastor. You manipulate people to get what you want. And it's always been a touchy subject where I think because like their lives revolve around this idea of practicing morality, for whatever reason, people have a tough time of separating. Even from an external perspective, like internally, it's fine. Look at someone like Werner, for example, from Survivor South Africa, who was a pastor. But fans have a tough job of separating the like, well, you practice this in your daily life and then you do this on Survivor. How can you possibly do that? And I think it's just because those people's jobs revolve around that. But at the same time, you know, look to people like firefighters and police officers who theoretically are supposed to be very all good during the course of their day-to-day life, and they're coming out and playing a duplicitous game. I'm not exactly comparing the white collar of a priest, in a manner of speaking, to the blue collar of a firefighter, but at the same time, I do think there are many jobs where we have to separate who they are in their career versus who they are out on the island.
Well, as a scientist. I mean, look, everybody's talking about, oh, this translates to the game of Survivor, translates to the game of Survivor. Like, it's inherently wrapped up in whatever. Anyway, so yeah, Survivor is no place for a seminary student. All right, we got two more comments. Let's see if you can get this one. Okay, this guy needs to win the whole thing. Finally, someone representing the SCG short, chunky, goofy community.
I didn't realize there was an acronym.
Is that a thing? I mean, I would be a proud member of the SCG.
I mean, I'll go to...
I'm not short.
I'm going to Urban Dictionary. Let's type it in. SCG. What do
SCG.
I get?
SCG. At least well, we know what...
No, nope. I mean, SCG, uh-oh, from uh-oh, what I'm seeing, is just, uh-oh, I just keep getting the word sack chaser over and over again. So I don't think that's what that means.
What?
Yep, it's sack chaser.
Sack chaser. Sack chaser!
Yeah, it
more
sounds like a...
TI.
Okay, yeah, it does sound like a superhero name of someone like, stop! Get that sack of TVs away, crime lord. I'm the sack chaser. So... It looks like there was a homebred abbreviation, short, chubby guy. And mm-hmm, I would imagine, unfortunately, that's referring to Martin Van Buren himself, Daniel Strunk.
Yes, yes, it is. I they seem pretty high on Daniel, I will say, like, overall in general, which was exciting. But this comment did make me laugh.
I do think they enjoy the self-deprecating nature, because even in the 1 minute video, Daniel has that attitude of like, I don't think I'm going to win, but I'm going to have a fun time. And I think that grounded attitude, Rob and I spoke about whether or not that will actually pay off in the game coming in with low expectations, but I would imagine people enjoy it because it is so different from the alpha mindset of like, this game is mine, I'm gonna win the most individual immunity challenges ever.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Well, on that note, I have one more for you. This comment is, well, there's two comments, I can't really pick one, so I'm just gonna go ahead and read both. So comment number one is, Chris Hemsworth and Charlie Day have a love child. Yeah. Love that image in my brain.
Oh, and my god.
The second comment about the same person is, big strong guys rarely last. Sorry to this man, good luck to this man.
Wow, so sympathetic. Like, sorry for you. Good luck in your life, because you're not winning $1 million.
Sorry to this man. Good luck to this man.
Charlie Day combined with Chris Hemsworth. I mean, it's obviously Jonathan. And Chris Hemsworth, I see. Right. Charlie Day, I do not.
Yeah, I don't exactly know where that comes from. Like, what is the Charlie Day contribution?
Is it chaos? Is it like the Pepe Silvia meme of it all, where it's like, I'm going to cause a bunch of malarkey? I'm not sure, but I don't necessarily see, you know, Jonathan Young, former endurance competitor, as Charlie Day, like, okay, I'm going to find this idol now.
Wild card, bitches. Just cutting the brakes. Yeah, exactly. Actually, someone did recognize him from endurance, which I thought was, I know. I was not expecting that at all. But someone was like, I think I recognize him. I think he was on endurance.
Can we trade in the chicken and veggies for some milk steak?
Yeah, he's oh my gosh. So that's the casual's thoughts.
So overall, are they excited? I know that you talked about the first camp of like, ratings will decrease, go broke, go woke, but like, are people excited for this cast in general?
It's tough because that is, that first group is an overwhelming majority, or at least that's how it feels. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of comments that are like, well, I'm not watching anymore. And then there's sort of this undercurrent where there are the people that are excited and they're like, if you don't watch anymore, stop commenting, kind of thing.
If you don't watch, you can't check out my 2-part full screen analysis of the cast.
Analyzation of the cast. Yes. So, you know, I think in general, of the people who are not complaining about the wokeness, yes, they do seem very happy, very excited, very much into the cast, very like normal sort of casuals attitudes. So I think of that group, they're still pumped, but it's just hopefully once that those people leave, although they don't seem to be leaving. I thought they would leave after last season, but they're still here actively complaining that they're not watching. So I'm like, you're not watching, go away. But overall, you know, we can check in from time to time and see how much complaining they're doing.
Well, count us in with the excited throng of Survivor fans. I'm very pumped to get back on this. Full disclosure, like between everything that's happened the past couple of weeks, I got all my Survivor content out there in the first couple of weeks and was like very hyper focused on that. And then I took a step back, like everything's out. I'll take a little bit of a break, check out Celebrity Brother, check out Amazing Race. And now we're like turning the machine back on and I'm very excited for it. This does look like a really interesting group of people. So no matter how weird the twists are going to be, and they're going to be weird and the editing is going to be weird, we still have fun on this podcast getting into the shenanigans, and especially with this group of really interesting people, I think we're going to have a fun time, Leon. I think we're in store for a season that's more fun than going through a corn maze on fire.
All greased up.
Yeah, exactly. Ready to you can't go. Get me fire.
Slipping and sliding. Yes, look, that's the whole point, right? If you're not having fun, we're not going to be the casuals, okay? Get out of here, casuals complaining. No. We will have fun. It's going to be a blast. There's going to be a lot of silliness, a lot of goofiness. We'll keep up with the Survivor NFTs for some unknown reason.
I do think if there is an update, we might have to have a Survivor NFT check-in every week.
This is the NFT corner. Move over, casuals.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we sold out. There's one corner of the B&B that's just dedicated to Survivor NFTs.
These are our NFTs.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's talk about something that is more profitable. At the end of every week here on the B&B, we highlight a specific charity. It's all right with you, Liana. I'd like to make a choice here since we don't have a guest. The situation going on in the Ukraine is obviously... Yes. Absolutely terrible. There are many, many ways to contribute, but one that I want to highlight because Top Chef did come back for a 19th season, and World Central Kitchen is an organization that was headed and founded by celebrity chef Jose Andres back in 2010. And they essentially provide relief in the form of hot meals to essentially those in need, whether it be disaster areas, areas of poverty. They played a huge role at the beginning of the pandemic in being able to cook for those that didn't have the means to do so themselves. And naturally, like, Jose Andres was one of the first boots on the ground in the Ukraine once everything broke out over the past couple of weeks. So, like I said, various ways to donate. This is just one that I am suggesting. You can go to donate.wck.org, wck.org, to donate any amount that you want to. And our hearts are, of course, with everybody in the Ukraine who is going through an incredibly scary time that supersedes any stupid talk we're making about any stupid reality show. Like, reality is scary out there. And it makes me even more grateful that we have this opportunity and this venue to, like, come on, goof around, and then also occasionally acknowledge that there are incredibly important things out there in the world that need the attention.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about laughter as medicine, but you know what actually really helps people? You know, food, like when you're going through a whole like war crisis. So, yeah, if you can, really highly encourage it. I think that absolutely that was a great choice, Mike, for this week.
All right. So that being said, we are just getting started. We are revving up the machine because next week there's actual Survivor to talk about.
Like Rock Troy,
what are
excited.
You doing here? Get out of here.
Hug me,
Survivor. We have a double length episode to get into. And so, like we did last season, this constitutes not only one, but two guests. You have heard them yucking it up, talking Love is Blind these past few weeks on reality TV or Hap-Ups. Really excited to welcome in the duo of Mary Kwiatkowski and Asia Welch are going to be coming to the B&B to break down who knows what's going to happen in this premiere. Again, Rob and I sort of prognosticated that we might get a similar situation to 41 of two tribes go to tribal council on the same night. Maybe we get two cycles in one night like we did with Ghost Island. I'm not entirely sure, but I think we can count on two people going home. That means two preseason predictions will be revealed. That means we'll throw some games in there. We're going to have a very fun time. But Mary and Asia, next week, if you have any game suggestions or ideas, we are like Jonathan / Creed. Our arms are wide open. So please send me any and all things. RHAPBNB@gmail.com. The letter B, the letter N, the letter B at gmail.com. Or you can tweet at us. Hashtag RHAPBNB. Liana is at Liana RHAP. I am at a Mike Bloom type. Liana, what else do you have going on, including one podcast incredibly pertinent to Survivor 42?
Well, that's right. I will be joining the crew to draft the Survivor 42 players. So I was obsessed with my team last year. I had Shan, Liana, and Tiffany. Ugh, iconic queens.
Very much
but
so,
I did
yeah.
not snag the win. So I am hoping this season to, you know, channel some energy. I will hopefully not be as confused as a goat on AstroTurf. But we shall see. I'm very much looking forward to that. And then, of course, yes, Zach Wurtenberger. I am breaking down RuPaul's Drag Race season 14.
Could Zach be the Matty Morphosis of Drag Race moving forward?
Yes, exactly. I'm looking forward to it. And or at least a makeover episode, I'm sure, of some type. You know, they got to get it's all under the Viacom. There's got to be some crossover. Yeah. Bring on some Survivor contestants to be made over. I would love it. But yes, so breaking down all of season 14 with Beth and Amon over on the Drag Race channel. And then we're also covering UK versus the world. We do a little like 10, 15 minutes at the end of every episode to just give our thoughts on that chaotic season. So definitely check all of that out. It's been super, super fun so far.
All right. And you can check out everything that I'm doing. As I mentioned it before, if you've somehow missed it, oh boy, you have a lot to catch up on before the season starts. I have interviews up with every single contestant in written form over at parade.com. And then, of course, in podcast form, Rob and I broke down each and every contestant in the three tribes, three separate podcasts, 3 hours each, one person listening. Hopefully it's you. So be sure to check it out if you want the down low on all of these contestants. Of course, I'll be doing exit press as well starting this coming Thursday. I've been doing exit press for all the CBS reality shows that have come out, including Celebrity Big Brother, Amazing Race, which recently concluded. And then over on post-show recaps, lots of things happening. Angela and I finally wrapped up coverage of The X-Files. We're resuming coverage on Lost Down the Hatch now that Josh is back from his eye surgery, covering Upload, which is coming out for season 2 on March 11th. So there's a lot going on post-show recaps, whether it's stuff I'm involved with or many of the other heads that work behind there. There's not one corn maze guy that's running it all. We all build the maze together on post-show recaps.
We all get out there in the field and stomp around to smush all the corn.
Is that how you make a maze? You stomp the corn down? This side, this one.
I don't know why, but I'm also imagining Cotton Eye Joe playing and you're like,
that would be torture doing that for hours on end, trying to create a path in a maze, stomping corn to Cotton Eye Joe. That is the 10th circle of hell.
Oh, yeah, that does sound like that's it's just on repeat. Oh, that sounds so horrible. Oh, speaking of music, Massinger is coming back as well.
It's coming back. It's
same time as Survivor.
Same time and day as Survivor.
Yeah. So Puyi and I are not doing any type of like preseason coverage. We're just going to, you know, hit it off the gate. I think that first episode is going to be quite interesting. So,
oh, boy. Yeah. If you read the news, I think we're in for an interesting start.
Yeah. So we'll be getting into all of that next week. Yeah.
All right, more opportunities for Liana to buy NFTs. Really exciting stuff going on Rob Has a Podcast and reality TV, where Hap Pops in general. So that's going to do it for the B&B. I'm so excited to be back for another season. Like, this is truly amped up even more my excitement. I am as pumped as a screen-printed butterfly on Liana's shirt right now. And that is an exclamation point I want to put at the end of this podcast. Don't pull off my wings, people. I want to fly. Next week, big premiere recap with Mary Kwiatkowski and Asia Welch. Thank you all so much for listening. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes, and Will from America for his fantastic theme song. Until next week.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.